Blog Talk Radio.
Of life with you.
to Delicious Talk. This is Gail Delicious Johnson, your host. That was Melba Moore, Lean On Me. I don't know where my co-host is at the present, but I'm sure she'll be along shortly. Hope everybody's having a beautiful Friday evening. Hope you got home from work safely, winding down, and are listening to my show. This evening I have a very special Native Washingtonian guest on my show. As you guys know, I'm from Washington, D.C. He's a very extraordinary guy. He's Ronald Yarborough. He's an actor, writer, producer, motivational speaker, consultant, and activist for the youth offenders and adult ex-offender population. He is the original creator of the Reentry Program for Ex-Offenders. That's a nice program. Ron Yarborough is a native Washingtonian who has touched the lives of the youth as well as the elderly through all of his trades. Mr. Yarborough is also starring in the movie Think Twice, Little Gangster, which hits the big screen soon. If you have any questions or comments, you are free to join in our chat room by logging in and creating an account. The call-in number is 1-646-652-2877. And I think my co-host is here. Good evening, Rhea. How are you?
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. It was a beautiful day here today, simply beautiful. I think it rained a little bit, but it still was pretty, you know, nice and a little on the good side of the weather for me because I don't like a lot of heat, but it was a nice day today.
We started off pretty warm, and then it turned chilly and started raining, but nothing could mess up today. I'm heading out in the morning to watch my son graduate with his master's in electrical engineering tomorrow. So I am fabulous.
Oh, my goodness, what good. I am so glad to hear that, you know, because a lot of the youths of the day are not even finishing high school, you know, so I'm very happy to hear that your son is getting his master's. That is really something. Well, I don't know if you heard the bio of our next guest, but
I did.
Oh, okay. So I think I'm very excited to speak with him this evening because he is a personal friend of mine, and we sort of grew up together. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Ron Yarborough in. Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Mr.
Yarborough. I'm doing excellent to both of you.
Okay, that's Rhea, my co-host.
Okay, Rhea.
Yeah. So
and congratulations on your son.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have quite a dossier here. You're a singer, actor, writer, producer, motivational speaker, consultant. But first, tell us a little bit about who Ronald Yarborough is.
Well, one thing, Ron Yarborough is a believer in my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all my strength comes from.
Right.
And I'm just a guy that believes in helping people. And all my life, that's what I've been doing. Because that's what I believe is my destiny, is to always help someone, whether you're on top or you're in the middle or you're at the bottom, is to reach out and touch somebody.
Right. So let's start off with the fact that you're originally from Washington, D.C., right?
Yes.
Okay. Family members?
Well, I had four sisters. Now I have three. One passed.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very talented young lady. Her name was Valerie Yarborough. She was very talented also. I come from a very talented family.
Right.
Yes, I do, and I've been grateful for that.
Right. Okay, let's get on with the, now you're a singer. How did you actually know that you could sing? Because at one point in my life, I could sing as well, but I know I don't sing as well as I used to, but I used to could sing back in the day. So when was it that you discovered that you could sing, and, you know, how did you carry it out?
Well, actually, I didn't discover it. My grandfather and my aunts and uncles and people like that, they discovered it when I was 8 years old. And they started me singing in the church. My grandfather's name was Reverend Sidney Dunstan. He's passed away now, but he had me singing in this church, and my grandmother, Miss Nanny Yarborough, and my aunt, Aunt Josephine, they just had me singing all in these churches and family events, funerals, weddings, that type of thing, and next thing you know, it started. Then I went to junior high school, and I was running track, and I got sick. I had a seizure. Mm-hmm. And from that point, I said, well, I wanted to do something. I couldn't run anymore, so I started singing more. And I got with the group, and the group was called The Emotions. Mm-hmm. And later on, we won all talent shows in the district area, in the metropolitan area. And we had the opportunity for the mayor at the time, the first mayor of Washington, Mayor Walter E. Washington, to send us to the Apollo Theater. And that was in the year of 1967-68. Mm-hmm. Well, these guys could really sing. And we did a song called Old Man River.
Mm-hmm.
And that song took us to the Apollo, and we won the Apollo 7 consecutive times.
Wow.
We were the singing group that beat Luther Vandross at the Apollo.
Really?
They were homegrown Southeast guys. Some from Fairfax Village and some from Parkland, Shipley Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
go ahead. Go on. No, go on.
And because of the riots, you know, the riots came in 68.
Mm-hmm.
That's what cut everything off. The group put out an album back in 1978 under the name of Positive Change. And Positive Change, that we had to change the name because we had a female group that came out that
was called the Emotions. Mm-hmm. Well, do you still have contact with any of those guys that you sang with back in the day, or are they still here?
A little. Yeah, they're still living. And they're not singing. I'm the only one still singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's what I wanted to do. And I started off doing my first song that I ever wrote was called Precious Gift. And
So you wrote the song?
Yes, I started songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I started writing with, and my partner's named Al Johnson. He's a very renowned singer and writer.
Didn't he used to sing with, that name sounds familiar. He was with a group?
Yeah, the Unifics.
Right, okay.
Right.
I knew that name sounds familiar.
And him and I were still writing together. And, I've sung with so many people. I've been on stage with all of them. I've been on stage with the Temptations. I've been on stage with the Whispers. I've been on stage with the Spinners. I've been on stage with Nancy Wilson, Ray Charles, Roy Ayers, Gladys Knight. I mean, so many people that I've been on stage with and performed with over the years. And I'm just grateful to God that I stopped for a while, but then I came back. And that's what I wanted to do, is because I like to see people transformed by people singing. And I can actually see the transformation, you know, right then and there.
Right. Well, I had the pleasure to hear you sing. I think I have your CD, but I hadn't played it in a while. But I had the pleasure of seeing you singing in person at, I think it was Ellen's funeral.
Right.
You sang it. Very good friend. Yeah, as a matter of fact, she's in my book. But that was the very first time I had the pleasure of hearing you sing in person. And that's, you know, what had prompted me to put you in the book as well. So, I know you get your blessings and your callings from different things that you do. And, you know, as you spoke of, you've been with a lot of different singers and, you know, entertainers, and that was your blessing.
Well, let me say one thing. I got to say something about this young man. This young man's name was the late Donnie Hathaway.
Oh, right.
The first time I ever went into the studio, I was with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I've ever went to the studio. And it was an experience that I'll never forget.
Right.
Donnie.
Well, did you guys do a song together, or you know what was that all about? Being in the studio.
Well,
with
he was
him?
Just teach. He was teaching the group about dynamics and singing in the studio and what to look for and what not to do and your diction and things of that nature.
Oh, okay.
And he said, and he told us then that we would be a very good, very big one. We will be very big one day. But what mm-hmm. happened is that people change over the years.
Right.
And your goals change. And
right.
we found out that after putting all the time and the money and the effort in it, that they didn't have their heart in it. And
wow.
they really didn't want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And that the group split up. But I continued to pursue a career and a hobby of singing and writing.
Right. So what are you working on now? Do you have any songs that you're working on now? Are you putting a CD together or, you know, what's going on with your...
Yes, we have something very strong that we're putting together. And we're just waiting on some other things to fall in place. I'm working with Al Johnson. I'm working with some a young lady by the name of Jackie Ruffin that used to sing with Richard Smallwood. I used to sing with him also. And Angela Winbush,
mm-hmm.
I sing with her too.
Right.
The people that are involved with what I'm doing there are all professionals,
mm-hmm.
and they are perfectionists. So what we have coming is something that people are definitely waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
And once we finish it, I think they will be very happy to hear what we've done.
Oh, okay. Okay, so moving right along, also you're an activist for youth offenders and adult ex-offenders. How did that come about?
Well, that came about.
Are you still involved in it?
Yeah, when I was young. When I was young, you know, young people do dumb things. And
right.
I got involved with the law at a young age and went to jail. And when I got to jail, I said, wait a minute, hold, there's something wrong. I said, these people are not bad people. They just need some direction.
Right.
And I started programming, as we called it back in the day, and I went back to school. And I was going to college while I was there, and I started changing my view. And I got involved in helping those that were there. And from that point of helping them, then I came home. And when I came home, then I got hired by the same organization, the Department of Corrections. They hired me to come back in to teach the inmates what I had been teaching them. And I put together the original reentry program, which is now nationwide in the United States.
But so are you still active?
Well, I'm not as active as I was because the unscrupulous people that were around me stole my program. And I was young and I didn't have any protection on it. And they ostracized me and they did a whole lot of things. But anyway, God took care of that and put me back into a situation that I could still help people. And I'm doing it through song.
Okay, the youth that are coming up today, how would you approach them in the things that they're doing as far as not going to school, hanging out on the corner selling drugs, having babies after babies, and having all these different baby mamas, you know, and all the drama that's in the youth of the day's life? How would you approach them? Because some people think that they're unapproachable, and then some people are actually afraid to approach them. How would you approach them?
Well, one thing, we can't be afraid of our youth.
Right.
We can't. Also, as being senior citizens, we have to still walk up to them, look them dead in their eye, and tell them that they're wrong instead of being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when we see the kids walking around with their pants hanging down, I give them a belt. I give them a belt. I just buy the belt from the thrift store. And I walk around and I see him and I give him, I don't have a belt, and I would give him a belt. Oh, you trying to be funny? No, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm not trying to see your underwear.
Right.
If the merchants would help, would not serve them if they have their pants hanging down, that would help.
Mm-hmm.
Then in my seminars that I teach about etiquette, of how a man is supposed to dress, how he's supposed to look, how he's supposed to smell, you know, and that's not a good thing for our children to be doing. Also, it's a subliminal thing that's happening with our youth, and they don't even understand that. When they get locked up and their pants are hanging down like that, that they're meat. They're looked at as a piece of meat when they come in prison because they're saying, oh, they want to show that part of them, all right? But that's what they want to do. Now it's a fad. It's like they want to do this.
Right.
So it's a self-esteem issue. And it's very sad that you have young men that are doing it and you have women that are doing the opposite. So it's like confusion totally there. But remember, who raised them?
Yeah.
Their parents were not ready to be parents.
Right.
Okay? So the youngsters don't know how to be parents. The school system did not teach them how to be parents.
Right.
Why isn't it that the school system will teach you how to add and subtract, but they won't tell you what to do about life?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad situation. But
yes,
in other cultures, that's included in the curriculum, that they will learn how to be life survivors, starting with the family. The family structure is the strongest and most needed structure in the world.
Right.
Without your family, you have nothing.
That's true.
So our families have been just torn down for all types of reasons. Number one, because the way we talk, we don't show love. We show thug, and that's not love. We show disrespect. Okay, when you can't respect your elders, you can't respect anybody. You can't respect yourself because you haven't learned how to deal with respect.
Right. Wow. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we come back. We're going to continue with your dossier, okay?
Okay.
We'll play a little something that you had sang at one of the funerals that I attended.
Yesterday. so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Welcome back. That's G.C. Cameron. It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. And I didn't know that he, I think he used to sing with the Temptations at one point a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he did. Okay, so getting back to Ron Yarbrough, and like I said, if anybody have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. And, Rhea, if you have any questions, just jump right in, doll, or any comments.
Okay, we do have two holding online.
Okay, let me bring this person in. Okay, 803-694. You have a question or comment for Ronnie Yarbrough?
Yes, I do. First, I want to say hi. How are you? To both of you.
I'm fine. Thank you.
My name is Annie Dawkins, and I'm from South Carolina. But I left here. I am great. I left here in 68, and I went to D.C. I stayed 30 years there, and I
mm-hmm.
came from a great mega church in D.C. called the Jericho Ministry over there by the new Redskins Stadium.
Okay.
That's where I got my meat, and, well, first of all, I got my milk and the meat of the word there. So
okay.
I recently came back to South Carolina after my husband passed away. But, Ron, my Aunt Mildred Bailey came down, brought your CDs down, and I actually fell in love with them. You have a very unique voice that I know that it is definitely a gift from God.
Give God the glory.
What I do, what I'm doing now, I am promoting your music.
Well, thank
what I'm
you.
Doing is like people who listen to it, I can make some copies. And the precious gift, beautiful. The Lord's Prayer is awesome. Now, the Lord's Prayer, what I do, I direct my praise team at my church here in South Carolina. What I do, some of your music, I shatter. Like the Lord's Prayer, I can shatter some of your music. It is very, very nice. And you know what? You keep up the good work. Now, I heard you said that you got another one coming out. You know I got to have it.
Ms. Dawson, may I say something to you? Did you say that you were making copies of my music?
No, no.
Giving them away?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I want to make sure we didn't.
No. Okay, like the copies that I have. No, I wasn't there. No, not giving them away now, okay?
Okay.
Not giving them away. But what I'm saying is like the people, but like in my family,
mm-hmm.
like my church and whatever, okay, what they want to do is they want a copy, right, of
right.
what I got,
okay?
Now, because what they want to do is take it and listen to it and share it with their family.
Uh-huh.
Now, because what they want to do is like, okay, we like this. Okay, we want his music.
Weren't you the lady that ordered 40 copies one time?
No.
Somebody
40,
in the South ordered in South 40
Carolina?
Copies in South Carolina ordered 40 copies at one time.
And no, that must have been, I think it was somebody in Tennessee.
Okay.
But I know that my aunt brought your music down.
Yes, she's been very, very helpful in moving this.
Yes, indeed. But what I'm doing is, like, in order for someone, okay, like if they're not close to me in my family, they say, look, we want to hear them. We want to hear. I said, you've got to hear him.
Well, thank you.
He is definitely a blessing from God. And I said, you got to hear him. I said, what I'm gonna do? You got to have a copy. Okay, now what I did was I gave him a copy. Now what they want to do? They say, well, okay, we are ready. We want to buy his music.
Okay.
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 So I'm just really trying to spread you around, okay? Because
well,
you are a blessing to be spread around. Now
thank
I had
you.
A chance
thank
to sing with Shirley Caesar, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, different people when I was at Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know that God is using me, and I love music. You know what I mean? I know
yes.
music, and I tell you, you keep on letting God use you. Because
thank
you
I
are
will.
A blessing. You are a blessing to the whole world. To tell you the
thank
truth, you
thank
are.
Thank you very much.
Now, what I'm going to do is like, I'm going to get names, actually numbers, the numbers of people who want to buy your music. I will get in touch with my Aunt Mildred, and she will get in touch with you.
Okay.
And I'm just going to, whoever I can talk to, whatever I can do down here in South Carolina to spread your music, hey, it will be done.
Okay, well, thank you.
In
wow.
the name
we
of Jesus, it will be done.
We appreciate it. We appreciate
okay?
it. Okay? God bless you.
I just wanted to say, and God bless you both, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right?
Thank you.
Just keep up the good work.
Okay, thank
because
you very much.
You are really doing a tremendous job.
Thank you.
And I was listening to everything that was said from the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing but a blessing.
Yes, it is.
God
yes, it
is.
God is awesome.
Be a blessing to a lot of people, young people, old people, a lot of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So you just keep it up.
Okay, thank you, sister.
What you're doing, you can't go wrong.
Okay, thank
right.
you.
Okay?
Thank you. God
okay.
bless you.
And God bless
all right.
you.
Okay.
All right, thank you. You're going to stick bye. Around for the rest of the show? Hello? I guess she hung up. Okay. Ronald?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so now we're going to dive into you're also a motivational speaker. How
mm-hmm.
did that come about?
Well, that came about at learning how people needed direction because I needed direction.
Mm-hmm.
I was very confused when I was young and in my young adult life. Looking for a way out, looking for a way to live, looking for a way to survive, and the system failing. Well, I found out that I failed the system. The system wasn't there for me anyway. I had to create a system for myself.
Right.
And what we do is we blame the system for everything, but we need to blame ourselves. When we point fingers, if you point a finger, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So the motivational piece came up that we needed to be motivated to create, to duplicate, to become something that we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that was definitely needed and something that was not used or taught in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started being a motivational speaker, I had an aunt that was a school teacher. Her name was Miss Davis, and she taught in a school. And she heard the music, and she heard the motivational stuff. And she said, I really like that. I really like, can you come over to my school? And I went over to her school, and we started playing the music. The principal loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, Gail, the school system did not want this stuff played in the school system. I thought it was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I started thinking about it, well, it's something underlying, it's an underlying hidden agenda with this whole thing with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
When your kid gets locked up, money is being generated through the system each time they're locked up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a child that's a problem and you don't address the problem, not the teacher, but the parents, the teachers are not the parents.
That's true.
But you know, a teacher does not have to go home to see how a child is being treated at home. All he has to do is watch the child when he comes to school.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows. So motivating was a very interesting point that we had to get to. Well, mm-hmm. once I went to the school a couple of times, the principal said that no matter what the school system said, they were going to play these songs every day. You know, when they had the announcements in the school, they played
right.
a song about stopping the violence and holding on to your dreams. And, well, what happened the grades of the students increased 87%.
Wow.
And the sad part about it, the principal could not tell what was being used. But that's what was being used was Ron Yarbrough's motivational, inspirational music.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank my aunt for having the guts to even go and share it with them.
Wow. Well, we have another caller with their hand up. We're going to see what they have to say. Caller 301-574, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hi, you have a question or comment for Ronald Yarbrough?
This is Gwendolyn Yarbrough. How are you?
Hi,
Gwen.
How are you?
I am great. I just want to make a comment about the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I teach a motivational course for children at PG Community College during the summer, and it's called You Are a Star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's teaching children how to really be motivational to themselves, how to love themselves, how to honor and respect themselves. And last year, the class had more boys than girls in it, and I thought that was phenomenal. And we were teaching them how to look up their names, see what their names meant, know that they are from kings and queens and, you know, the lineage all the way through history. And then I had them look up their, not only their names, but their birthdays, and letting them know that when you were created for a purpose.
Right.
And I can remember one little boy says, Miss Hall, where did you get all those books from? Because I shared the books with them with that knowledge. And I remember the first class I did, I taught them about cultural things, motivational things. I have a goddaughter who has eczema really bad, and she has won 3 times at the Apollo Theater in New York just this last year. So one of the exercises was to visualize us actually being on a train, leaving from New Carlton, going up to New York, sitting in the Apollo Theater, and just giving that child, giving Jasmine all of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
I shared with them the next day that she actually won, and they were just ecstatic. They learned how those thoughts that they had of sending positive thoughts to her actually materialize.
Wow.
So all of that is important. You have to imagine. You have to focus. You have to know, because our time is running out. And if we don't mold these children now, it's going to be too late. We got 7 billion people on this planet now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are leaving. People are coming in. You come in for a purpose, and you leave because your purpose has been fulfilled.
Right.
So I said all that to say that it's very important. You don't know who you're affecting when you just embrace a child or an elder. You just don't know.
That is true. That is so true. And you teach this class just during the summer at PG?
In summer, yes. That's part of their summer camp program. We're trying to get it in the public schools. But as long as I can reach a few of them, that is fine. Because then when they see me and their parents see me, they remember. And that's important. I remember when I was in Richmond and I spoke at an assembly with one of the attorney generals down there, and I told those children, don't say that you want a car or this and that when you graduate. You're in middle school. You tell your parents when you graduate from high school, you want a passport. You get your passport and you travel and you see the wonders of this planet.
Right.
And I remember when my speech was over, all the little boys, here they come. Where can I get my passport? Where can I get my passport? The seed was planted. So we have to plant these seeds.
Right.
And
so
when
is your class going? I'm sorry.
Oh, the class will be sometime in July. I'll let you know so you can announce it. But I remember when we were living on Langston Place, there was a woman, Miss Thomas. She used to take us out in the woods during the fall and teach us about the different trees and the plants and everything. That was a learning process for us.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have to do that, but she did, and I remember it to this day.
Wow. You know, it just is so amazing how children can be affected by people just saying the right things for them,
mm-hmm.
and guiding them in the right direction,
right.
opposed to, you know, giving them negative things to think about and negative things to do.
Exactly.
You know, I'm always, interested in helping the youth out because they are our tomorrow.
And to piggyback on what Ronald said, I was one of the early ones that started liturgical dance. They're calling it praise dance now, but everybody's doing it. But I started it when I lived in California, and I remember I was in Richmond, and I was playing the gospel music, teaching the children how to tap to gospel music. And the principal said, the director said, oh, you can't bring that in here. That thing hurt me so bad, but yet you can bring all this music that talks about shaking your booty and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But to have them
dropping
just
it like
repeat
it's hot.
That somebody loved them, I couldn't do it.
Wow.
Well, I was at a barbershop today, and it was a gentleman, Mr. Fox, from Southeast Washington, and it was a little boy that came in, and he started talking. And I turned around and looked and said, son, how old are you? He said, I'm 9. I said, what grade are you in? He said, I'm in the 5th grade. I said, you speak well. How did you learn to speak? What is your name? Guess who it was?
Who?
Minister Louis Farrakhan's grandson.
What?
He
was off the chain
in there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He had the discipline.
That's where he liked to speak well. Mm-hmm.
He had the discipline and everything. I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? His response was, I want to be a scientist and a speaker. I said, you know what? You are both already.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep going. He had the formulas on for life. He had the formulas for spirituality. He had a lot of stuff that grown people have missed. And he was 9 years old.
Wow.
Everybody in the barbershop was amazed with him. They took pictures and everything. Called his mother up. His mother came down and took pictures of his mother and everything because this boy was he was off the chain. So I gave him a card. I told him I asked him to call me because I want to get him in touch with Miss Jamie Bland. That's the executive director of the movie Think Twice, Little Gangster, because he needs to be heard.
Right. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your acting career.
Okay?
Yeah. All right.
But you've been gone away so long, and I hope you'll understand that it's really, really only guessing. It's out of my hands, but I've been praying.
Welcome back. That's Gladys Knight and the Pips when they were all together. I Don't Want to Do Wrong. And this evening we're talking with Ronald Yarborough, who is a singer, actor, writer, producer, motivational speaker, consultant, and activist for youth offenders and adult ex-offenders. We're going to get into the acting part of Ronald Yarborough. Now, I understand that you're in a movie.
That's correct.
And how did that come about? How did you get into your acting career? Or, you know, was it started when you were in school or, you know, was one of your blessings?
Well, I look at it as a blessing. You know, I look at it as growing up the way we did, we always had to act.
Right.
You know, we were acting all the time. You know, it was just a natural thing. We didn't have acting classes, but we had to act. We had to act when we were in school. We had to behave ourselves. My mother used to tell me, she said, Ronald, just do me one favor. Can you get an A in citizenship? Well, I failed that. I could not get an A in citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
But that acting part, I couldn't pass. But as I got older, then I learned to do some acting. But what happened, I was singing at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman came up to me after the funeral, and she said, Mr. Yarborough, I like your singing voice, and I like your speaking voice. Would you like to be in a movie? I said, what kind of movie, a porno? So she burst out laughing.
No,
she said, no. So we laughed about it. She said, no, it's about violence. It's about stopping the violence in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, the light went off. I said, you know what? That's what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, I would like to be in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
What part would you want me to play? She said, I don't know yet. I said,
mm-hmm.
Do you have the score for it? That's the music. She
mm-hmm.
said, no, I don't have the. We don't have the music yet. I said, well, I have a song that I've written, produced, and I sing it. And it's called Precious Gift.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to hear it? She said,
mm-hmm.
sure. I said, well, would you like to come out to my car? And I went out to my car and we sat there and we started listening to the song. All of a sudden, she started crying.
Wow.
She said, this is it. This is it. She said, this is God. God did it. I said, yeah, God did it. I said, because a friend of mine, Mr. Bobby Bennett, used to be on WOL. And
yeah, I know Bobby Bennett.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Bennett and Mr. Al Johnson told me in 1996 when I put this song out, he said, they're not ready for this. But somehow, some way, this song is going to be in a movie.
Mm.
I didn't even understand it when they were saying it. But
right.
Now, today, that song is in a movie. And people are going to hear it all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that.
So it's in the movie that you're in?
It's that's also in the movie. The role that I'm playing, and I do have a speaking role.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
I'm playing the father of the son that gets killed from gang violence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm an FBI agent.
Mm.
Now, that is weird.
Yeah.
Because my life and going to jail and all that, now I'm on screen being an FBI agent.
Wow.
So, they said, yeah, well, you're the next Ice-T, you know. I said, okay.
Wow.
But I'm honored to be in this movie, and I'm praying that it helps a lot of youth and family members to get off the boat, you know, and stop
right.
making excuses, and let's
right.
get this thing together.
Right.
I want everybody to go see the movie. The movie is called Think Twice, Little Gangster,
mm-hmm.
and it will be in your local movies very soon. I don't know the release date yet, but Miss Jamie Bland is the executive director. She wrote the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tretch from Naughty by Nature, he's in it. The Rough Riders, they're in it, and some more people. Some congressmen are in it. It's going to be a very controversial movie, but with a lot of insight in it.
Right. Well, we have a few callers. I'm going to bring one of them in that's had their hand up forever.
973. What is it?
973. Are you there?
No, hello?
Hello, is this 973?
Yes, it is.
You have a question or comment for Ronald Yarborough?
Yes, I just would like to add that Yarbrough was a, I am Jamie Bland, and Yarbrough was a great actor, and it was a pleasure to have him on set. Because
thank you.
He did have a passion for, you know, the concept of the movie already, and then for him to actually be a part, and he played a father of a kid that was an AB student, but he wanted... He was looking for love in all the wrong places, and the boy moved to New York, and he got involved with some gang members. They jumped him in, and he actually he got killed by accident because when they jumped him in, he hit his head on the concrete, and the boy died. He plays a like you said, a agent, but it became personal now. And the whole police force and everything got involved, and it just shows how they take down a whole organization. And, you know, people never know who people are, you know, that
right.
are affiliated and active in the streets. Sometimes you just think they're just, you know, regular street people running. But this young boy, he really... was a good kid, but he just got caught out there and actually looking for love, like I said, in all the wrong places. But
Jamie, could you share with him who else is in the movie also?
Yes. Tretch from Naughty by Nature is actually the main character. And then we have Jason Foss. We have C.P. Lacey, the Sandman from the Apollo. And I just was listening to another lady talking about the young girl, you know, and going to the Apollo, and, you know, that really brings a lot of memories to the table with me because I have a production company that is youth, educating youth and adults through drama. I'm a nonprofit organization, the 501c3, and we actually do have a couple of different categories of the arts, and my dance troupe, they won for the fourth time at the Apollo Wednesday night. But to just have people such as, you know, Ron Yarbrough and the lady that was online a little while ago, and, you know, myself, the Jumpstart Productions, we are people that have to have a heart for this and a passion for this because people pay in this. But just to save one child and just to inspire them, just to help them reach some goals, I mean, this is just a blessing from God. To really want to educate, you know what I'm saying, these young adults
right.
by any means necessary because a lot of them are doing a lot of things now because they don't know better. And just somebody has to stop them in their tracks using whatever tools they can. And like I said, the arts, well, as you know, most African-Americans, that's what they had to do going back during the slavery days. They had to mostly entertain themselves because they didn't have access to all the other type of entertainment. So we had to really entertain ourselves and teach ourselves to read, teach ourselves to, you know, use Ebonics so that we can actually communicate. And so it's still about each one teach one. And and I just think that Ron Yarbrough taking this part and that song that he wrote, it will definitely bring tears to your eyes.
Wow. Let me ask you something, Jamie. How did you come up with the concept of this story? Was it something was born in you or...
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey, basically, but I moved out to L.A. in 1985. I came back in 93, and I saw so much as a kid coming up. And then when I went to L.A., everything that was going on was totally different. And I guess because the West Coast is always hot, so it's never downtime. It's like you're always, everybody is always on and going. And at the time, in those years, it's when gangs really had started going to the left, because, you know, gangs were pretty much made so that black people could come together, you know, and join forces against, you know, the white people that, and, you know, the KKK and stuff like that, just trying to have numbers standing up for themselves. But
right.
It just got out of proportion, you know, just kind of went to the left. So what I thought about was watching and putting a lot of stuff together that I've seen and heard and been through. And so a lot of this is my life. And as a woman trying to raise her children and being scared every day out there in L.A. because of the yellow tape, and I used to watch police flying in the air and helicopters, and I'm like, what the hell? Because I'm from the East Coast, and I'm used to cops just driving on the street, pulling you over, but they were in the air. That's how bad it was. They had to be take the air, take the streets, and try to stop. Come on. So I just wanted young adults to know some of the things that I've done, under prevention and awareness. If I could write a story showing the roots and showing the reasons why people are doing and acting the way they are, some people can say, wow, I can relate to this. Now, if this is my situation in life, if my life is Tori's situation, I know now by watching this movie that don't let it get me to that point. Don't let me get me down,
right,
because now
right.
I'm getting frustrated and I'm going to the streets to look for love in all the wrong places, where the results of that can be death. It can be drug and alcohol abuse. You know what I'm saying? And actually, it's a no-win situation. So I just wanted to for people, for families and adults as well that are trying to find out what's wrong with our children. In this movie, it also shows you a piece where you can hold on to your child but so much, but if you're not teaching them the basics while you're holding on to them, then they're going to still reach out and get out some type of way, and they're going to go the wrong direction because they're not being educated. You can hold them only but so long, but you want to educate, have a reason, and let them know the reason why you're holding on to them, so that now they're not, when they get loose, out like a bat out of hell. They want to know, now I know how to leave my house and conduct myself because I already know what's out here. So that, you know, so it's basically a lot of stuff that has been going on in my life and things that I have seen people go down. I'm tired of that, so I figured if I write a story that shows different ways, you know, that families had to struggle and the results of the inner city at-risk youth, maybe people can try to reach for the stars, you know, because they can see what caused the poverty. You know what I mean? And poverty, being poverty-stricken is a lot of reasons for ghetto. It's a lot of reasons for the ghetto mentality. Well, this is what it is. I'm already broke. I can't go any further, so I'll just waddle in what I do. No, you can put your best foot forward and reach for the stars. So we need more people that are writing. We need more people that are trying to embrace young adults every day, because a lot of people are scared of them, and a lot of people, they don't have the passion. What they want to do is say, oh, my God, I wish they would get a life. But if they don't know where to go and how to do it, somebody has to try to take them along. So I write messages in every scene, and Ron Yardville's music will be in a scene. And I know definitely it's going to reach the young adults, because the young adults on the set while working on this project were actually feeling changes. They actually were seeing the storyline, you know, making changes in their lives. Their lines.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You know, and as they were working on a project with their lines, even, you can see them, like some of these actors were not professional actors, but they became professional because they transformed themselves into that character. They started feeling it. So now they really started understanding what people, you know, are going through that are active in the street, trying to get out of gangs, but the gang members, how they actually were ruthless and doing a lot of different things that they shouldn't have done. The ones that even played that was like, wow, how can somebody be so ruthless? You know what I'm saying? So everybody
right.
got a chance to actually feel their character. And it's not all bad because some people, one person actually stayed focused that was in the movie. And that was just to show if you continue to try hard and you know, be determined to stay focused, it can happen. And everything
right.
that goes on around you will not affect you if it is not for you. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, Jamie, I'm an author, and I have a book. Well, I have four books out, but I do have a book. Have you ever thought of or have you ever turned books into movies? Or have
yeah.
you ever thought of doing that?
Well,
because if so, I would...
Boys. Hmm?
If you did, I would like
boys.
To send you
well,
book of mine.
Let me say something. Let me interject something here. I've already talked to Jamie about you and Gwen with your
mm-hmm.
writing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be discussing that once we get some other projects off, because she's always looking for some other ends also and other people. It's not about her. It's about us.
Right.
And us saving our children, you know. That's what it's about.
Right.
But we're looking for other things and other actors and people that are trying to do things that are positive. That's what this is all about.
Right.
And I thank God for Jamie because she has the right attitude.
Right.
As long as it's basically under prevention and awareness, and I'm not talking about like, oh, we're just gonna beat them in the head with a
right.
You know,
right.
I'm talking about Jumpstart Productions is a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, basically the goal is to redirect the minds of the youth of America today.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as there's something there that can help somebody when they watch it, they can grow. You know what I'm saying? That they're
mm-hmm.
going to be educated. And I'm not talking about with the ABCs. I'm talking about where they can say, okay, you know what? When I get up in the morning, I know what I need to do in order to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they don't know what to do. They don't know whether to brush their teeth first, wash their face. If there's something that can
right.
help these young adults grow productively and think successfully, like I want to be successful and I can, anything that's going to inspire them, I definitely have no problem with filming.
Okay.
Yeah, because
okay.
some things, I mean, they can cry. If that crying is going to make them think, when the smoke clears, then I'll film. You know what I mean? It just has to have some type of a twist because the movement right now is desperately needed, and we got to reach them by any means necessary. And I have so many young adults that are now into the production. They're just like flocking to me, you know, and they want to do the urban projects. And I'm strictly into the urban projects because I got to give the urban young adults a message. These females being fast and foolish, this movie shows where this one girl had to change her life around because fast and foolish almost got her killed. You know,
mm-hmm.
she went to the club, and I can remember back in the day when my brother and sister used to be like, don't sit your drink down. Once you get out there and start drinking, you know, people put Spanish fly. I didn't know what that
right.
was, but I had sense of that bitch not to trust.
Mm-hmm.
So these girls nowadays, like, everybody is drinking out of each other's cup. Like, you know, you're too lax with stuff. So, I mean, I just wanted to put that out. So the girl, they slipped her a Mickey, and she ended up getting gang rape, but that girl changed her life. But she didn't have to. If she would have waited before trying to reach and get out into these streets being fast and foolish, she would have learned the basics of being in the streets. When you go in the street, don't do this. You know what I'm saying? While you're out, you watch your back better than anybody else. You know what I'm saying? And if you think
right.
that you got to be in some place with your friends that's wild and crazy, stay by the door. You know, just basic little things. But anyway, it was just something so that I can show. And it also shows five different ways to contract HIV as well. So it's a couple of different messages, and it just sounds like I might be all over the place, but the movie will be coming out within the next 4 weeks. So I'm just hoping that I can create a buzz and everybody can watch Mr. Yarbrough and the rest of the cast for Think Twice, Little Gangsta. And I definitely am available. I can give you my number.
Okay.
Definitely available. You can give me a call. I'm working on another project with a producer from New York. And one of the producers filmed 50 Cent's movie before I self-destruct. We're really good friends. I also put them on another movie that actually a pilot that I filmed, and that's on YouTube as well, called The Country Boys Untold Story. And that was a Frank Lucas documentary. Well, actually, Frank Lucas, American Gangster. The brothers, they came to me and they wanted to do a pilot because they'd like to do a series. And that's
also, could you let them know about the series with Think Twice?
Yeah, Think Twice, Little Gangster series. You can YouTube the trailer. Think Twice, Little Gangsta, Gangsta spell S-T-A at the end. We're getting ready. We have a couple of lives that we're going to bring to life. And we just did the pilot, and that's going to come up in another week. So anything you just, you know, see, Think Twice, Little Gangsta, just support us. Because this is going to be about making changes for the youth of America today.
Right.
So my number is 973-955-5755.
Okay. I'll be giving you a call. All right. With that being said, we're going to take another little break and come back and get to the near the end of the show, okay? We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. That's Jackie Ross, Selfish One. And I wanted to mention while Jamie was on the line, I don't know if she's still listening, but Ronald Yarbrough is also a character in one of my, the sequel to my first book, which is The Reunion. So with that being said, I have another call on the line. Let's see what this. Good evening, caller 202. You have a question or comment for Ronald Yarbrough?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is Butterfly.
Hi, Butterfly.
Hi.
Hi, Butterfly.
Hi, Ron and Gail.
Hi, darling.
Ron, I don't know if you remember me, but I met you about a month ago, and we attended, I told you we attended Anacostia together, and I was telling you how I admire you, how the way you dress, the way you carry yourself, and the way you kept your head up high, and you're still doing it, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. Give God
the
glory.
Another thing I want to comment is on your music. I attended Ellen and Hershey's funeral, Hershey's funeral, and
Hershey's
your music.
Mother-in-law.
Yeah, mother-in-law, yeah, and their music is awesome. But what I gather out of that, when you finish singing, it's the way the family members and the people in the church left. They weren't crying. They weren't falling out. And I said, this is something different. I like this. I like this. That's why I said, can I have your card? I still have your card on my dresser. I said, I'm putting my little file box for my son, so when anything happens, hey, get him to sing, okay? So everybody won't be falling out and fainting and everything. I really enjoyed
well,
the music.
Well, you know, most of the time when you go to a funeral, you know, there's no motivational speaker there.
Right.
And God gave me a way of doing it, and I really thank him for it because it's not the end. It's the beginning.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And we need to give each other a standing ovation because when we came here, we knew nothing.
Right.
And the times that we stayed here, we've learned a lot and we've helped somebody. Okay. And when you see people come to a funeral, that's what you're saying. We are thanking you for being here because you've touched us.
Right.
So that's what you see. But that's God moving through song and through speaking. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, man. We are blessed because we lost a lot of classmates during the year, so we blessed to be here.
Yeah.
And another thing I admire is about, you know, the information. You were
Hello?
Locked up anywhere. I would have never thought that. I said I would have never known that you were locked up in anything. But I'm proud of the way you are sharing that information someone instilled to you because I never give up on the youth.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that because a lot of people don't understand that Jesus was crucified. Jesus was locked up. Jesus was the first ex-offender in the world. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was the first ex-offender that was people don't understand that. When you crucify somebody, that was a sentence. You see, so it's just that we have to understand what life is about. You have to give something back. Everybody makes mistakes, you know, and the way life is that we trample on people for making mistakes when we make mistakes ourselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You see, but it's a sad situation. But it's people that down there that are here that still will try to trample on me, but I have somebody that's stronger than all that. It stops
mm-hmm.
the foot from coming down, and that's God.
All right. That's all
so
right.
That, if you put him first, it will fall in place. It might
right.
not be in your time, because I've been through a lot of changes. I've been homeless. I've been hungry. I've been cold, okay? But God brought me through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing, I've been tempted. They called me and said, man, when you lost all your money, I know what you can do. You can come back to the street. I had all that. I said, no, I can't do that. I'm waiting on the Lord to show me and give me what I have because I knew I had something that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I found out what it was. It was me and what I do, and I appreciate what God has done for me, and I give it back to him.
Mm-hmm. And
so I really
what?
Appreciate you, what you're saying.
No problem. And, like, I'm over here in Anacostia, and I'm the same way with the youth. I get on them. So when they see me, they'll straighten up and say, hi, Ma. And, you know, by me not giving up on my kids and sticking it out with them to the end, like you say, we do wrong, too. So by me talking to them, they never say, I don't want to hear that, Ma. Or,
right.
Or, they will sit there and listen to every word I say. So
because you're not afraid of them.
Right.
You're not afraid of them.
But the funniest thing, when I do wrong, they come at me. So I have to give them the utmost respect and look at it and say, okay, you're right. Okay, thanks for telling me. Thanks for telling me.
I'm hearing a feedback. Yeah, I think you need to turn your computer down. I think that's what the noise is.
Okay, let me move. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah.
So you never, I mean, you get tired and things, but you never give up because I know your mom look back and say, I'm proud of you.
Yes,
because
that's very important.
Never giving up on you.
I'm glad you brought that up. My mother, I'll never forget this. When I went to get sentenced for my charge, my mother stood up in the courtroom and asked the judge to sentence her and let me go. Because my son had gone through so much. That's a very touching thing about a mother.
Yeah.
You know, the mother is so special. Now, I don't know many mothers that would do that, but I have to let you know that my mother stood up because she knew that what her son had done was wrong, but don't hurt her son.
Right.
And I told mother, this is the first and the last time you'll come to see me locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, for something real stupid like that. But, you know, when you have to protect yourself or something like that, that's something different. But
what? But
to do something stupid like going and robbing a bank and taking the money and giving it away in the community to help people that couldn't pay their rent, they couldn't pay their house notes, and they were losing stuff, they didn't have food to eat, that's what we did with the money. And the judge even sentenced us and told us that we were Robin Hoods. And he said he didn't want to sentence us because we did something good for the community. It wasn't about us doing things just to get, you know, glitter and gold and all that. It was about helping our community.
Right. Well, we have 973 back on the line. I'm going to bring her in. Thanks, Butterfly, for calling in. You hang out
until
the end of the show.
Okay, you're welcome. I'll be seeing you again.
Okay.
I'm going to wait.
Okay.
Watch out for the movies.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
973, are you there?
What I meant to ask you before I hung up is a little bit about your book, just like a brief description of what, you know, is the book actually about?
Okay, well, I have, my first book is a book, it's about the old neighborhood I grew up in, and it's about two best friends that go through trials and tribulations of one loses her first love, and one of the girls is in an abusive relationship, and she almost loses her life because of it, and she had been raped when she was 10. She got married, and, you know, she basically is on this roller coaster looking for love, and she never finds it. And the sequel is the person who abused her in the beginning gets murdered, and they go to trial. She goes to trial because she was the last person to allegedly, you know, see him alive. So she's accused of the murder, but she can't remember because the fact when he had beaten her so bad in the past, she had lost her memory of it. So she can't remember whether she killed him or what had happened. But it's a very good story, and it's like I had mentioned, I don't know if you had heard it when you had hung up, Ronald Yarbrough is in the sequel to the book, and I use his real name. I have a few people who's let me use their real name in this in the sequel to the book. And then I have another story I wrote. It's about a young man who was violated, and he was adopted and into this family of twins. The mother was a school teacher, and the father was a police officer. And one of the twins had a sinister side, and the other was like a mama's boy. The one with the sinister side violated the adopted brother, whose name was Lucky. His real name was Robert Cole, but he got the name Lucky because some things that happened to his life when he was growing up. He was in a car accident and almost lost his life, and, you know, different things. So he was given the nickname Lucky. And he, you know, got on with his life after his brother had violated him, you know, and got married, had a daughter, was very successful. And he had went to a Sunday sermon at church, and the preacher had a sermon that had opened the old wounds of his past. So this caused him to take a 360-degree turnaround and to seek revenge from his brother and a few other men who got in the way. The title of that book is You Might Get Lucky. So in the end, there's the ending is a very explosive ending to this book, and I think it sends out a message to, you know, to men in particular, because when a man is violated, he never reports it, or, you know, well, he may report it, but you don't turn on the news and hear where this man has been violated, that man has been violated, because men have egos, and then some men just don't, you know, want to go through the trauma of going through a trial for whatever reason. And what had inspired me to write this book was because when I was 15, I was raped myself. So it was very therapeutic for me to write this book, as well as, you know, having a story to tell about it. And it's a very good book. So those are the, you know, the books that I was speaking of. So if you like,
okay.
I can send you.
They sound really good. Sounds really interesting. And it just sounds like somebody can actually read it and, you know, relate and learn at the same time.
Right.
Basically, what I am into is going to the root of things and trying to solve the problems. Because if you don't get to the root, then, you know, how are you going to see where the problem from the where it began all the way to then where it started really happening, and then now at the end, what do we need now to make the changes? What can we do to make the changes? So that's why I just... I like stuff like that, you know. I was thinking about, you know, basically back in the day in the 60s, you know, when all the heroin and people were shooting dope, and then we had to worry about, you know, them shooting dope. They would, it was always violence and everything, but it was a little bit different because once they got high, they would do more of the doo-wop on the corners, and everybody would try to have a singing group or something going on. And this just goes back to the reason why I'm doing production today, because I watched all of that, and I thought that that was great. I didn't entertain too much of the drugs, you know. I didn't take a liking to, you know, watching people getting high or whatever, but I think that because they weren't so violent, even if they robbed you, they didn't kill you. They did B&E's back then, broke in your house, you were robbed, but hell, you didn't have home invasions where you were tied the hell up. You know, you had to be maybe down with the mafia or something to get something like that done to you. But then later on, when the 80s came in and the crack hit, now it went from men shooting a whole lot of dope, and then you had some females that were down. Now you got the women that are now on crack, and they're tricking the children, babies raising babies, because now the older sisters and brothers have to raise these younger sisters and brothers. The grandmothers are struggling, trying to see if they can get them to listen to them. Now in the 90s, hell, they Crips, Bloods, and, you know, now they raising Crips and raising more Bloods, because the men were going to jail, you know. In the 70s, the men were going to jail. Well, now the mothers left in the 80s because the crack had them going crazy. Women, shit, it wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't nothing for them to be going to jail because they had to do what they had to do to keep the crack. So they were tricking, and they started hustling harder than men. You know, it was a time when you just thought men were, you know, basically the overall hustlers. You know what I'm saying? But outside of right numbers, the women started selling drugs, started running back and forth in and out of countries and smuggling stuff into the countries, trying to make money any kind of way they could, you know, tricking for the coke and the crack. and we started losing mothers. So now the whole thing is that a lot of the crack babies in the 90s, this is all they had to teach themselves. So that's why they don't really have the heart, like, in the passion, compassion for the other person, because they lost some of that nurturing along the way. So what I'm trying to do now is bring all of that back. So writing things that, you know, get deep into the past, showing how the family and the family structure should be, you know, as opposed to how it just started falling apart, and the reasons why might bring some structure back. Because a lot of times these kids don't even know. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then we had supper on Sundays, sitting around at the tables, coming from church and talking about, you know, how your week was and things of those sorts. You know, some people don't know of these things, and they just, you know, I watch people in the 90s, in the 80s, where they were getting so high, they would maybe fry some chicken and send the child out on the porch because they didn't want them to watch them smoke crack. So send them out on with a chicken leg or a chicken wing. And the kid had to make do, run back, can I have another wing? You know, because they didn't have time to sit down and say, okay, you're having breakfast, and by 12 o'clock lunch, and then by 5 o'clock in the evening, my kitchen is going to be clean. It was just all, you know, just had lost all structure.
Yeah, no structure.
You know, the family and family love and success. So now it's about trying to bring all of that back. Because
That's what we're going to do.
Right.
Bring it all back.
And my first book is based like in the late 60s. And back in those days, the family structure was, you know, like you said, people would come and eating their meals together. They were the two-parent household. They was respectful to their elders. They were in school. And, you know, different things were so different. But even there were issues going on, but not like the issues of the day. Because I can remember back in the day when we tried to play hooky from school, the truant officer was riding around.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Home. Now the children just hang out on the corner all hours of the day and the night, and nothing is said about it. Nothing's done about it. You know, so this book basically will take you back to the fact of, you know, children coming up and being respectful. And, you know, like I said, even though they had their issues, but the issues that are going on with the teens today is just, you know, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember when we fought, you put the mother on your shoulder and then somebody knock your mother off, and then you might fight and the fight will be over. Who won? Who's the duke of the school? Shut. Now you don't do that. You better hurry up and get out of there because you might get shot up. You know,
That's right.
And I also can remember back in the day when my mom used to work and we had a babysitter, the next door neighbor, and I had two older sisters, but the next door neighbor, she could beat us and tell my mother what we did, and we would get
That's right.
You hit my child for? Because she knew that this woman was responsible for us, and she was doing what she was supposed to do. But see, nowadays, like they said, it takes a village to raise a child. Nowadays, there are no villages, you know, so everybody's, you know, basically looking out.
The mother down with the kids.
Ignorant,
keeping that boundary line, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the mother, and you know what I mean, and you're the kids. And then you have to also, you know, it's just how you relate to your child. If they know that you're the boss, okay, fine. But then if you're being able to relate to them as, you know, like, okay, I need to hear what you have to say, and then trying to make constructive, you know, decisions for them, you know, showing, giving them guidance instead of acting like they're your friend, you know, and talking that same language with them. So
well, see, one thing about it, Jamie, you can't be your child's friend. A friend comes and goes. Your parents forever.
Right.
See, your parents forever.
And
so, I mean,
you know,
all this
kid,
stuff is,
I never cursed in front of my mother. And, you know, like, even when my mother I must have got about 30. You know, every once in a while I say, oh, shit. Then I say, excuse me, Mom. You know, it wasn't like I'm sitting with my mom and I'm cussing all this. So, no, because first of all, being in the 60s and the 70s, one thing, it was like, oh, my brother, what's up, my sister, you know, Black Power, whatever. Mm-hmm. That was all good, and I think it kept us so that we had the love and the heart for one another, saying these things. What's up, my sister? You know, hey, this is my brother. You know, now it's my nigga and my bitch. So now, you know that.
Or my B-I-T-C-H.
Yeah. So, like, these things coming out your mouth is already reckless. You talking reckless. You live reckless. You know what I'm saying? All day long, you acting reckless. And so it's nothing from nothing leads to nothing.
What amazes me is how women love to be called B-I-T-C-H's. That amazes me.
Yeah, yeah.
They like
yeah,
that.
They do. And I can't understand it for the life of me. Why would you want to be called a dog? Because that's exactly what a B-I-T-C-H is, but that's
right.
What they do, you know.
But y'all call men dogs, and it's all right.
Well,
but women are calling themselves B-I-T-C-H's. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And women can't do what if a man waddles in the mud, he'll get up and stuff females everywhere be saying he sure still is cute.
You
let a woman do all of that, they be saying, oh my God, she's trifling, she's a low life, she's a whore, women have to really have a certain amount of respect for themselves. You know what I'm saying? There is a difference from a man and a woman. You know,
I think it's respect across the board. That goes for men and women because,
yeah,
you know, I feel like if
a woman can't
you know,
do
whatever.
What a man does. Mm-hmm.
Well, if a man is out there having sex with this woman, that woman, and another woman, the woman's doing the same thing and she's considered a whore, I consider a man the same thing, you know, regardless to how they say a man can do this and a man can do that. If he does.
Well, you know what? By me being a man, let me say this. That macho thing is fake. It's artificial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really understand that until you get older. You want to get these notches on your gun. You understand what I'm saying? So how many did you hit? That's not being a man.
And women don't
That's
understand
being a fool.
That, y'all, bro. With
That's being
girls,
a fool.
You know, growing up, oh, I love him. Men are not thinking about that. They're thinking about the notches, how many they can hit. Mm-hmm. Honey, they men have a whole nother thought going in their mind. When they see you, they see butt, they see sex. You see a man, I see a house built with marriage and kids, and come on, it's a total different life. Women have to understand, you know what I'm saying?
It's a value system. It's an artificial value system.
It's a change.
That we put out there. We think it's materialistic, or we think it's a feeling, a quick feeling, and then how you spell relief, get off. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But we have to rechannel that.
Okay.
So I'm glad, Jamie, that you're doing what you're doing. I'm glad to be involved in it. And I'm just looking forward to doing more with this thing because it's definitely needed. And I thank God for having all of us in the realms of thinking that we are about doing this, because the schools have failed. The teachers have failed. The parents have failed. The preachers have failed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand up and be counted as being responsible for our own children and our own communities.
Exactly, because in all actuality, we are the first teachers. When your child is born, you are the head start teacher.
Right. The mother is
really,
the first teacher.
That's
the mother is the first teacher. The mother
you know,
is the first
right,
teacher.
The parent, yeah.
Right.
So, I
right.
mean, people say, oh, well, shucks, I'm sending to school. Well, I mean, if you're not enforcing and you're not, you know, educating yourself, then don't expect for that teacher to be doing everything.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
you have to have, you know.
Right, it starts at home.
It starts at home.
That's right.
And
that's
I have Brownita Sharif, and she just was talking about the Muslim schools and how they stick together and make sure that they're educating their kids. I have a niece that skipped from the ninth grade all the way to the first year of college. She had to take the test, but she's in the first year. And she was telling me, and Brownita, are you still on?
Yes, I'm on, Jamie.
Yeah, she was talking about how the importance of, you know, coming together. And this will definitely, if some people and parents especially can, you know, look at the model of what the Muslims are actually using. And the conversation came up because of Louis Farrakhan's grandson. Well,
right.
This is what they do. Education is very important.
Very important.
They
it's
don't
power.
Want anything to get past their kids. They want their kids. You know, it's very important. And I know Brownita wanted to say a couple of things about what she recognized, you know, when she went into the school.
Well, I just want to say, and I want to say good evening to everyone. My name is Brownita Sharif, and I'm from
good
the
evening.
First Resurrection of Islam under the leadership and guidance of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon him. And I was telling Jamie that though I was a young child myself at the age of 15, 16, going into the Nation of Islam, Sister Clara Muhammad University of Islam on South Orange Avenue in Newark, I had the opportunity to teach a little Spanish, which I wasn't very fluent in, but I taught the basics, and to walk around to the classroom at the university. These students were on levels in elementary school of those that are in high school. They could tell you the population of the planet Earth. They could tell you the distance from the Earth to the Sun. These are things that children were being instilled in these children at a young age. And this is something I have never seen in public schools, because I grew up and attended public schools all my life. But to sit in what we call the private schools back then, and that particular school in Newark, you would never believe the products and the things that came out of these children's mouths. So when you mentioned Minister Farrakhan's grandson, who I've never had the pleasure to meet, but I did meet Minister Farrakhan over at number 7 a couple of times. He would never remember me, but I remember him. And he left a lasting impression on me, so you can tell from generation to generation this
That's
has
right.
fallen in the Islamic faith. And they have to know that we're not raising our children to be terrorists. We're not raising our children to be negative in the Islamic community. We are raising our children to be scholars. And like Mr. Farrakhan's grandson said, he wants to be a scientist. That's a beautiful thing. So America has to really look at us differently, but they're not really trying hard enough to see. They've got their rose-colored glasses on, like we used to say back in the day. And if they really took a good look at us, they would see we are just as loving and caring as any other people, because you know why? We're all the same people.
Right.
So it makes no difference what our religion is.
Well, you know, when I was in Ghana, I found out in Ghana the youth there in the 7th grade are on college levels in America.
Yes.
They speak 5 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
They have that structure. They are so intelligent. But one thing they do have that's outstanding is
discipline
and respect.
Is what they have.
And respect.
Yes.
And respect.
Yes. Yes. And if you want to see some discipline, we used to have what we call FOIs and MGT, Food of Islam and MGT, Muslim Girl Training General Civilization classes. And if you want to see some drilling. I know Patterson has the ambassadors. We have steppers all over the world. But if you want to see some discipline and some drilling, you watch those FOIs and those NGTs. When they do them precision drills, it is something beautiful. People have never seen it. I was telling Jamie, we need to try to put a piece in
what we
do in the future. Because we need, and we can do it with other aspects of life, but that right there is something amazing. That was before drilling and technique and all that came out. The FOI and MGT was turning it out way back in the day. And it was a beautiful thing to see all these, especially the black men, coming out of prisons and downtrodden and everything, to see them come to the masjid or the mosque, what we called it back in the day, and to get involved in something like this and turn their life around. Oh, my God. And then to go to Chicago every year on Savior's Day, the 26th.
But ladies, I'm gonna say this. Can't you feel what's happening? Spiritually, it's already happening, and the movie's not even out.
Yeah.
The movie's not even out, but it's happening now by being on this line.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I agree with you. It is.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. When that movie comes out, and I play a part in it also, but mm-hmm. Jamie has put it together so well, and we had so much fun doing it. And
oh, yes,
I grew up in Bergen County, so I wasn't really a what you call hardcore, but for Bergen County, I did my thing. You know what I'm saying? I was as hardcore as they got over here in Hackensack, New Jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And following with Jamie.
Hackensack.
Rolling
I know about Hackensack.
Hackensack, New Jersey, yeah. And then rolling with Jamila, my sister Jamie. You know, uh-huh. From the Patterson, and then she got me in Newark, and, you know, she got me with all these what we call gangsters, and I call them thugs and thugheads. So, you know, I started rolling with them, too. You know, I'm like what you call them light-skinned girls with long hair, but believe you me, I was not acting like one. I was getting down and dirty with the rest of them. Because that was my M.O. That was my forte. That's what I wanted to do. And I was just such a hooler type little girl. So when I came to the Nation of Islam back in the 70s, I really straightened out my life. And I started focusing because I had done so much from age 12 to 16. I didn't think I was going to be here today. So I'm blessed. I'm thankful. And I'm just honored to be a part of everything I am. And I work with at-risk children in my area, also along with Jamie, because I co-chair with Jumpstart. And it's just really a blessing to be able to bring what I've learned back to my community and try to change the life of the children that I work with.
Oh, great. Okay, well, it's been a very informative show. Ron, do you have any closing remarks? And
I would like to say, first of all, I'd like to thank God for having all of us put our minds together on one accord to change the course of history for our own children. That we took responsibility through song, dance, acting, the whole thing to bring them back. And I just thank God for all of y'all too, because everybody has a part to play in this. And I just want to thank y'all for even calling, because I don't think that it was supposed to be this way, but this is the way that spiritually it had to go. Because this is the way it's going to be. We are the ones that are going to be the pioneers to stop this thing.
Right. Jamie, do you have any closing remarks? Oh, Andrea, I'm sorry. Do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, this is Jamie. Jamie. Yeah. I just, want everybody to continue to pray for strength, you know, for ourselves, because, you know, everybody on the line, I know that we're all adults and we're not getting younger, we're getting older. And we need a lot of strength to make changes, because we have a lot of people. Some people don't even think that it needs to be changed because they don't know. If you've never had or seen anything good, then you just think it is what it is. So we have to really, you know, bring back the structure. So, I know that the world is supposed to come to the end on the 21st, they said. So I said maybe I'll tell my landlord that so that I don't have to.
The 21st of what?
Because I won't
this
be.
This month.
Oh, this month, right. Yeah, right.
Okay. Right. Yeah, well, I just thought
I'd
know
well, Jamie, will the movie be out before then? Because once they see the movie, then maybe it'll save us from being blown up.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm really going to push this because I definitely don't want us to be gone.
It's got to be out before the 21st.
Yeah, we got to make it happen. We
ain't got much time.
Wow.
Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Right. I'm very honored to be a part of this show.
And I was also,
welcome.
I just want to say, I mean, amen,
amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Jamie, I'm going to be giving you a call. Ron, I appreciate you coming on. You're going to have to come back again, especially after the movie's out, so we can talk about that.
Okay.
And as you guys
only,
know,
only if Jamie comes with me and the other sister.
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
Okay.
Now, is that going to be before the 21st?
God bless you
all.
God bless you all.
Thank
all right,
you.
Thank you. My next show on the 27th on the 20th is Child Abusers, Children Who Abuse Their Parents and Their Other Siblings. So if you would like to hear that show, tune in next Friday, the same time, same place. And
okay.
I thank everybody for coming out,
okay.
the people in the chat room, the flies mm-hmm. on the wall. Wish everybody a nice weekend. With that being said, good night, everybody, and thank you.
Good night.
Okay,
good night.
And thank
good
you,
night.
And Ron,
thank
I'll you. Be in touch before the 21st.
Okay.
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 All right.
Bye-bye. All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
good night,
good night.
Rhea. Good night, everybody.